Good morning, my beloved brethren and sisters. In the past week, I've experienced two vastly different events, as I think most of you probably have as well, or at least aware of them. And the first is the war in Israel and Palestine. And I don't want to go into the details, and I don't want to really get into the idea of sides, but there has been a senseless death and destruction and absolute barbarism in the last week in Israel and Palestine. And it just beggars belief, as my father would say, the inhumanity of man and what man will do and the hate and the destruction and the death. And then, brethren and sisters, the other event that I have experienced this week is the complete opposite, the polar contrast. It was last night, the baptism of Phoebe Smith, and the joy over a repentant sinner. And I had, brethren and sisters, the privilege of baptising her. And I said to her, just before she went into the waters of baptism, I said, there is joy in heaven over a sinner who has repented. And if we just think about those two events for a moment, brethren and sisters, and then two comments in the Israel-Palestine thing, conflict, two comments have struck with me. And the first was this, that the quickest and easiest way for this to end would be for the Palestinians to give the hostages back. And I was listening to Any Questions, and there was all sorts of comments, and that one comment stuck out, that this could be stopped. If it was not for the belligerence of man, this could be stopped. And then the other one was, I heard it many years ago, and it's still relevant today, that if the Palestinians put down their arms, there would be peace. But if Israel put their arms down, there would be no more Israel. But either way, brethren and sisters, whatever you think of those comments, ultimately, there is no human solution to this problem, is there? And we know the only solution is the return of Jesus. And then if I could just comment a little bit on the events of last night. I've known Phoebe for about, how long have we been up here now? About 8 years. 8 years we've been up in the northeast, and I've watched her grow. Watched her grow in Sunday school and develop from a child into a young woman. And I've watched her interest in the truth increase as I've spoken at various youth weekends that she's been there and teach her on a regular basis at Sunday school. And as I said last night, I was privileged to, as my sick children say, dunk her, or immerse her in the waters of baptism. And all those two events, brethren and sisters, are complete contrasts, aren't they? They are absolutely complete contrasts. They actually both lead to the same conclusion. They both take us to the same place. The war and destruction and the waters of baptism, they both take us to God's kingdom. Because that's where Phoebe wants to be. That's why she chose to be baptized, because she has decided that she wants to be in God's kingdom, and she knows that baptism is the way to get her there. Not that just by getting baptized you are automatically in God's kingdom, not at all. But baptism is another step. It is a step towards God's kingdom. It is part of a step on that journey to God's kingdom. And then the war and destruction in Israel and Palestine. The only solution is God's kingdom. If you think about the effort over the decades that has gone in by many men and women who are absolutely committed to finding a solution in Palestine and Israel, and they have failed again and again. It is probably the most unsolvable problem that we have in the world that we live in today. And we know the only solution to that will be the kingdom of God. And Brother Martin will know what I'm talking about, because he was with me a good number of years ago in Africa. And there was a lovely brother we met right out in the middle of the outback. I found a picture of him this morning, Martin, and I'll share it with you later if I remember. And the whole theme of the preaching in South Africa was the good news of the kingdom of God. And we were painting this. I'm a terrible painter, but somebody with much more artistic talent than me was painting this on the side of one of the buildings. And he says, "I want on earth at the bottom." He says, that's so important to him. He says, "The good news of the kingdom of God on earth." Because, brethren and sisters, that's what really, really, truly matters, isn't it? It's the kingdom of God on earth. It's peace on earth. Nowhere else. What really, truly matters is the good news of the kingdom of God on earth. With the return of Jesus. With the setting up of God's kingdom, the only thing that will bring the war and the tumult of this world to an end is the good news of the kingdom of God on earth. And that's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's what we pray for. It's the first thing that we pray for. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray for the kingdom to come. And then at the end of his ministry, after he had died, he'd been raised from the dead, and he was about to go up into heaven. And he promised his disciples that he would return in like manner on earth. Our hope, brethren and sisters, our future is on earth. God's kingdom on earth. Nothing else. That's our hope. That's our future. God's kingdom on earth. Peace on earth. And over the years, brethren and sisters, in Sunday school and working with the young people and at the youth weekends and all the times I've taught them and our youth groups and our WOW clubs, I've tried to focus on three things. And I keep asking, what is the most important thing I have ever told you? Ask them that question every time. They should know it's coming. And the most important thing I've ever told them is, I want you to be in God's kingdom. I never ever want them to forget that. That the reason I'm stood there, the reason I spent weeks, months working on the youth weekend talks and doing the Sunday schools late at night, early in the morning, is because I want them to be in the kingdom of God. Never ever want them. And then the second thing I say, what's the easiest way, what's the best way, what advice did I give you about getting into the kingdom of God? And that is to ask a very simple question, what would Jesus do? Because no matter what we face in our lives, brethren and sisters, no matter what challenges we have, no matter what decisions we have to make, no matter what, if we ask, what would Jesus do? We will get the right answer. Because Jesus will always, always give us the right answer. We can ask other questions as well. We can look to Scripture. We can ask brethren and sisters. But if we ask that single question, what would Jesus do? It will take us one step closer to the kingdom of God. I've just thought of something else. I'm just going to throw this in there as well. There's four things, right? And I've talked to them and I said, every decision you make, every decision we make in our lives, I'm not in you. Every decision I make in our lives does one of two things. It either takes me further away from God's kingdom, or it takes me closer to God's kingdom. And every decision, everything we do will do one of those two things. It will take us further away from God's kingdom, or it will take us closer to God's kingdom. Now, some of those decisions we make will be very small, and the steps will be almost imperceptible. But some of those decisions will take us in leaps and bounds to walk further away or closer to God's kingdom. And then the final thing that I always, always talk to them about is, what is your vision of the kingdom? And that's why I asked for Isaiah 35 to be read. And I don't know what your vision of the kingdom is, brethren and sisters. What is your vision of the future? When Christ returns to the earth, when he stands on Mount Zion, when the war and tumult and the destruction is ceased, what is your vision of the kingdom? And it will depend. It will depend on your personal circumstances. Now, some of you will know my dad. And my whole life, my father walked with a limp. I never remember him without walking with a limp. And then when I read those words in Isaiah 35, by the lame leaping like a hart. And there is a vision of the kingdom. My father leaping like a hart. Because I never, ever saw him do that. And as I was talking to the young children about that, I thought of Sister Sandra. As most of you know, she's deaf. And those words talk about the deaf, the ears of the deaf being open. And I talked about how young Emily would be able to talk to her mother in the kingdom like she had never, ever been able to do in this life. And I mentioned Africa, didn't I? And then maybe the brethren and sisters in Africa, maybe their vision of the kingdom is the waters breaking forth in the wilderness. In those areas where water is scarce, where it is desert. Where the crops are failing through drought. Maybe their vision of the kingdom is the waters breaking forth in the wilderness. What's your vision of the kingdom, brothers and sisters? What's going to get you through the next week? What's going to bring you back here next Sunday? What's your vision of the kingdom? What's going to get you to the waters of baptism? What got Phoebe to the waters of baptism? What's going to get the other youngsters, Esther and Reuben here, what's going to get them to the waters of baptism? What's their vision? What's going to keep us on the straight and narrow? What's our vision of the kingdom? What's going to help us keep the world at bay? Because the world is out there, and it is after us, brethren and sisters. It is trying to take our focus away from God's kingdom. And it is doing everything it can to take our focus away from God's kingdom. So what is our vision of the kingdom? What picture is in our mind that is going to keep us focused on the hope of the future? What vision is going to help us when we turn on the news? And we hear of war and tumult. And we see bombs and destruction and murder. And what's going to help us to do that? And in the end, brethren and sisters, the only thing that we can do is focus on God's kingdom. It is the hope of the kingdom. It is the hope of God's kingdom. It is the hope of salvation. It is the hope of resurrection that will get us through this life. No matter what happens in this life. And so, brethren and sisters, I'd like to take a few moments to focus on the glorious hope of God's kingdom to come, as presented in Scripture. And I'm going to use only the words of Scripture. And I'm going to talk you through, read some words of Scripture. The words are how God describes his kingdom. come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be on their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, nor willing that any should perish. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. And we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among nations. God wants us to be there, brethren and sisters. That's what God wants for us. He's written it down in his words of scripture so that you and I can understand what he wants for us. And God, brethren and sisters, wants to be there. And God wants you and I to be in his kingdom. And God is saying to you and to me exactly the same thing as I say to the young people. God is saying, what's the most important thing I've ever told you? That I want you to be in my kingdom. What advice did I give you, says God? That the best way that we can make good choices is to follow my son. That's what God says to you and I. To focus on my son. That's the best way that you can live your lives. That's the best way that you can make choices. To follow my son. To focus on my son. And then God says to us, what is your vision of the kingdom? What do those words mean to you? What is going to keep you focused every day of your life? What is going to move you closer and closer to the kingdom? Not what's going to move you further away. God wants to know what is going to move us closer and closer to his kingdom. What is going to help you finish the race? That's what God is saying to you and I, brethren and sisters. How are you going to get to my kingdom? I've got other words I was going to say, brothers and sisters, but I'm just going to put those to one side. Because I think those words say it all. Because those words, brethren and sisters, that description of the kingdom, is the most precious, the most important, the most wonderful things that we can ever focus on. And so whether we are witnessing somebody committing their life to Christ, or we are listening to the news, horrified by the death and destruction, and the belligerence, and the willingness to destroy of mankind, whatever we are witnessing, we have to remember everything is about God's kingdom. And we have to remember that we either are moving towards or further away from God's kingdom. And so, brethren and sisters, you all have before us, I'm used to it being here, but you all have before you bread and wine. And in that bread and wine, brethren and sisters, God is saying to you and I, what is the most important thing I've ever told you? And then he says, it's that I want you to be in my kingdom. And then he's saying, how do you get there? What was the advice I gave you? Well, focus on my son. Focus on his death and his resurrection. Focus on this bread and wine. And then he says, what's the vision that's in your head and in your heart? What's going to keep you walking towards my kingdom? Bread and wine? Is it the sacrifice of Jesus? Is it the waters in the wilderness? Is it the lame leaping as a hart? Is it the deaf speaking? Or the dumb speaking? Is it the deaf hearing? What is your vision? What's going to get to your kingdom? And so, brethren and sisters, as we partake now of this bread and wine, as we remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, God willing, hopefully, it is one more step towards the kingdom. And God willing, one day, very soon, we will see the Lord Jesus standing on Mount Zion in power and glory. And then the horror of the world will be ceased. And there will be peace, everlasting peace forever in God's kingdom. So let's partake of this bread and wine. And let's remember that everything we do is about God's kingdom. And it will either take us towards God's kingdom or away from God's kingdom. And I hope and pray that what we do now will move us one step closer to God's kingdom. Thank you, Luke.